Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
We have a couple that's going to be coming forward to share the word.
Yes, and we want to introduce this month we've been sharing on a biblical worldview, and today we have an amazing, powerful couple, and we want to share a little about them and then let them share because our time is so short this morning. But it was really, dedications are very important, but it's also important to preach your word, so we're going to do both. So now, with Terry Jackson, he works in law enforcement. He is a sheriff, and he works at Las Colinas, a women's detention center, and he's a sergeant there. Now, I appreciate his heart to help the hurting, and not only that, but he also went to King's College, Jack Hayford. He has a degree in theology, and he's a chaplain. So I can't think of a better person to be there to help people in crises as someone with the love of God. So can we give it up for Terry? Also, we're very blessed to have Juana. And these are both members of our church. They're on the Sozo team as well. But she has an incredible heart to help women. What a blessing. She works at Alternative Medical Clinic. It's a faith-based nonprofit clinic that helps with medical help for women in crises. They're there. She's like at the front of people's crises. She helps. They offer ultrasounds and medical help and training and counseling and love. And so today, this morning, they're going to be sharing on the sanctity of life. I can't think of a better thing to celebrate life as we're celebrating life this morning with our babies. Amen?
Amen. Good morning, everyone. That dedication was so beautiful. Beautiful families. What a blessing. Babies are gorgeous. So as we are here, we want to firstly thank Pastors Daniel and Teresa for inviting us and trusting us to speak today about life in this ongoing series about biblical worldviews. As Teresa said, we're specifically going to be speaking about the sanctity of life today. So we want to let you know that both Terry and I are passionate about life. As Teresa said, I have the privilege and honor of serving hurting women every day. We get to help them. We get to serve them. We get to speak the truth and love to them when they find themselves in really difficult situations. I think one of the most beautiful things I see is when a woman comes through the door, I just have the blessed heartache and the privilege of seeing their countenance. Sometimes they're so broken and so hurting and so fearful. And they go back and they're served and they're blessed and they're loved, never with judgment, but with great compassion and with great tenderness and great love and great mercy. And then I get to see the beauty of them coming out about an hour and a half later, and their countenance is transformed. It's amazing. I never tire of seeing how the Lord can do a work in hearts and lives. So I want to let you know that we do everything with excellence. We provide medical care. We have a lot of resources for those we serve in the community. But we also get to share the love of Jesus Christ, which is beautiful. How do we get to do that? It's because we are a nonprofit. We're faith-based. And so we're not constrained to say anything but truth and to speak it with great love and tenderness. So I want to let you know that this is our mission field. It's what we're all called to there. We're on the front lines, and we're speaking for the sanctity of life and for Jesus Christ daily. So the sanctity of life has been a topic of quite a bit of debate in both the public and political sectors since the passing of Roe v. Wade in 1973. We want to let you know that we are commissioned today to speak the truth, and we're going to speak it in love to you as well, okay? So before we go any further, I want to define what the word sanctity means. Sanctity is described like this: holiness, sacredness, godliness, blessedness, righteousness, goodness, virtue, and purity. It's beautiful. You may have heard it said that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, I believe that this next passage of scripture written by the psalmist David is just so poetic. It's beautiful. He masterfully and beautifully paints a picture which is breathtaking of the sanctity and wonder of life. So right now we're going to take a look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 17 from the Passion Translation. It says, "You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside. And you wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me, before I'd ever even seen the light of day. The number of the days you planned for me were recorded in your book. Every single moment you're thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought." So beautiful. So it's evident here that David can hardly contain himself. He's in awe of his creator, his maker, and his heart towards him. He's filled with wonder and praise, and he's filled with thanksgiving. It's evident. And I have to wholeheartedly agree with David. It's amazing. Life is amazing. It's a beautiful gift. I want to take a look at another psalm by David. It's verses 8, 4 through 6. Here he's praising his creator, and he's praising his creator in creation. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you establish, what is man that you are mindful of him, that you think of him? And the son of man that you care for him," or it said, "consider him. You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him. You crowned him with glory and majesty." I'd like to think that David was out stargazing on a beautiful, crisp, cool night. And he's obviously overtaken. He's overcome by the beauty of the night sky, where he sees God's place, the stars and the moon in the sky. And he's trying to comprehend it. He's trying to wrap his brain around it. And it's something far too great for him to get. But he's mindful of God's love for him and his love for us, each one of us. I want to say that this is true of God's creation, from the greatest to the smallest, from the oldest and wisest sage to the least, the most innocent and precious of lives, a baby. So I want to tell you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? We're the crowning act of God's creation. We are his masterpieces. And the Greek word for masterpiece is poema. Poema. This scriptural evidence demands a verdict. There is compelling proof that our creator, our maker, our God is pro-life.
Amen. Thank you, honey. For those of you filling out the insert, the first word is, "We are God's masterpiece," for those of you filling out. As my wife said, the topic of abortion has been alive in America since 1973 with the passing of Roe v. Wade. But how many of you know that there is nothing new under the sun? King Solomon said that. And we first come in contact with this, the taking of innocent life, back in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. And that's going to be my main text. But let me go ahead and just set it up how we get to Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. God made a promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 14. And he tells Abraham, "Your seed will be strangers in a foreign land, and they will be enslaved by this particular people. And then at the appropriate time, 400 years, I will bring them out, and they will come out with great possession." Now let's go ahead and move to Exodus chapter 1. This prophecy is on the cusp of being fulfilled. And guess who knows this prophecy, because he understands it? Satan understands this prophecy. He understands it's about to be fulfilled, and God is about to bring forth a deliverer for the children of Israel. Therefore, he sets out to destroy the male children, to thwart the plan of God for the children of Israel. So let's get into that now. So let's look at this. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is a symbolic representation of a worldly belief system that yields and worships many gods but does not know the true and the living God. It seeks to push its agenda on the people of God, i.e. at that time the children of Israel, but now it seeks to do it to the church. But I want you to notice something here about the Hebrew midwives. The Hebrew midwives refuse to comply with Pharaoh's edict. Why is that? As Juana said, we are created in the image and likeness of God. When God breathed into man, he became a living nephesh, meaning soul. And as a living soul, he had a consciousness. And that consciousness is inside of each and every one of us. It guides us with what is right, and it guides us with what is wrong. What happens is, as we get further and further away from God, we begin to suppress that godly voice, that godly consciousness on the inside, until the point to where we have a seared conscience toward the things of God. But I want you to understand something here. So the midwives understood they had a conscience toward God. But as they understood this, they also understood that they would be accountable for the choices that they make regarding the consciousness toward God. And in this instance, those midwives chose life. And as a result of choosing life, in other words, as a result of partnering with God, the kingdom of God and the plan of God continued to flourish. But then look at what happened also. God also blessed them with their own household to keep that legacy going. I want to just take a minute to just talk about those two women very quickly. It's two women who stood up to an emperor, stood up to a king. And the Bible says something. Every time you read the Bible and you read this story, their names are mentioned. And I want to ask you here today, what type of legacy do you want to leave behind? How do you want to be known in heaven? Will your works follow you? And they will. But God says here, being pro-life is a blessing, not only in this world, but in the world to come. So stand with God for the sanctity of life. As ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, our message must not deviate from the one in whom we represent. Therefore, our thinking must be aligned with the mind of God. The taking of innocent lives grieves the heart and mind of God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, I believe it's verse 25, God says, that thought of taking innocent life never entered my mind. So where does it come from? It comes from Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, that we may have life more abundantly. So as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, Romans 12:2 states this: do not copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's the New Literal Translation. As ambassadors of Christ, we must be principled people. In other words, we must be people who have biblical convictions. We must be moral people. The book of Leviticus states, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are a royal priesthood, a holy people. Therefore, our thoughts, actions, and deeds must align with the person in whom has sent us. They must align with that of Jesus Christ. When I was out in Sacramento, we got to visit the Capitol building, and we saw the legislature where all these laws are passed. But Jesus Christ is our Capitol building. He is our legislature. He is our judiciary branch. He is our Congress. And he must be the center of our life in our words, actions, and deeds. Everything that we do must represent the kingdom in whom we say we're from. We must be purposeful people. Everything we do must be centered around God. When the church fails to align itself with Jesus, the end result is a culture devoid of life. I just want to share some quick statistics with you. It is not a coincidence that many abortion clinics are strategically located in low-income communities. These clinics prey upon victims, falsely offering hope and answers during a time when they are most vulnerable. According to the Guttmacher Institute, 60,816,377 abortions have been performed in the United States since 1973 with the passing of Roe v. Wade. That is approximately 3,657 abortions performed daily. approximately 152 abortions performed every hour in the United States. And 17% of all abortions performed in America are performed here in the state of California. The devil's heart is to conceal abortion, but he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen at what God says in Psalms 8:10. He lies in ambush near villages. In hidden places, he slays the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for the helpless. The enemy is relentless in his assault upon God's children. His quest is to ultimately remove God's image bearers from the earth. There's a Jewish saying, ancient Jewish wisdom says, if you save one life, it's as if you saved the whole world, because they understand that one life can impact an entire family, a community, a generation, and many generations to come. All life is from God. This is an eternal truth. No matter what the circumstances or situations, there's never an instance where God does not love and desire his precious creations.
So we know the truth. We need to respond to the truth. The word of God is truth. As believers in Christ, we have a responsibility and we're called to speak the truth. So we've spoken today about our incredible value. Each one of us has a worth, and we're image bearers of God, our Creator. We belong to him, and he commands us to renew our minds and our thinking. He says, be holy, for I am holy. We're set apart. We're peculiar treasures. He calls us beloved. He calls us the apple of his eye. We're a royal priesthood. These are all truths in the word of God. However, I'd be remiss if I didn't comment on, say, today that the Lord offers forgiveness. He offers forgiveness and hope and healing that he alone can offer for any one of us. His redemptive value, and he did this how? He paid the ultimate price. He exchanged his life for ours on the cross. So I want to say that he offers this, and we want to confirm this through several scriptures that are truth. Jesus Christ forgives our sins. In 1 John, he says, 1 and 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us. This is truth. In Ephesians 1 and 8, he says, we have redemption and forgiveness of our sins through his blood. Again, this is another truth. You're God's treasures, and you've been forgiven. If you've asked for forgiveness, then it's done. Jesus Christ on the cross said what? It's finished. It's been completed. It's done. John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's true for every one of us, no matter where we've fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 8:28 says, now we know all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. There's never one instance where God doesn't love or desire one of his creations. And God can bring forth beauty from ashes. So we said he's able to cause all things, not just some things, not just selected things, to work together for his good. I want to share a story with you before we close here. I want to tell you about my friend Tammy. When Tammy was a young girl, she was living in upstate New York, and she and her boyfriend Pete had an abortion. They were young college students, but Tammy has an amazing testimony. God worked her life together in that circumstance for good. Tammy and Pete married. They have 3 beautiful young adult children. They just celebrated a 31st anniversary. So who is this Tammy? She's my sister in Christ. I love her dearly. She's also my boss. She's my CEO at Alternatives Medical Clinic. So it is just an incredible testimony of God's goodness, how he took that situation and he's turned it around and he's used it for good. She is a warrior for truth and a warrior for life. So no matter what happens in your past, God wants to forgive you. He wants to remove all guilt and shame and pain. And he can alone do this, no matter what. We've all fallen short. So I want you to know that if you need prayer today, if we've touched something in your hearts today, perhaps a wound, something's been opened up for you, that we want to let you know that we're here for you today. If you want to pray with us, we'd love to come in agreement and just confirm God loves you. Jesus loves you. He's forgiven your sins, and he declares you righteous and holy, and you're beloved by him. So I'm going to pass it over to Terry at this time. We're available to pray, and so is the altar team. I want to be sure that you know that as well.
I'm going to just summarize three main points here very quickly that we touched on. Number one, God is pro-life. He's pro-life because he is the giver of life, and we were created in his image and in his likeness, and he rejoices over us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. Number two, we are called to stand for truth. I'm sorry, we're called to stand for life and speak for those who do not have a voice of their own. And men, I know you've heard the argument that this is a woman's issue, but I want to tell you it's not just a woman's issue. It's a man's issue, and it's a godly issue. It's a moral issue. It becomes a man's issue because men also help in producing a child. And if more men would stand up and tell those women, no, you're not going to kill our child, we could greatly cripple the abortion industry. So men, I need you to stand up and be a voice for the unborn. And thank you. We have been given the truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. We know the truth. We know Jesus Christ. We know his word. And he's commissioned us to share that truth with the dying world. God is working through us to reconcile the world back unto himself. And he wants the world to repent. And the Hebrew word for repent is teshuvah. It means to stop what you're doing and turn. Turn back to what? Turn back to God and walk in his statutes. He wants people saved, and he wants them to stand up and be pro-life. So keep that in mind when you go about your daily business this week.
So here's three practical things that you can do, you and I can do. First of all, pray. Pray, pray, and then pray some more. Pray for lives to be saved. Pray for clinics that serve those who come in hurting and wounded and uncertain of what they want to do. We have a bookmark here that you can take today. We have them here for you. There's also some in the Welcome Center. It has Psalms 139 on it, the scripture that we looked over today. It tells you to do a couple of things. It tells you to pray for patients to come through the doors, for lives to be saved. But it asks you to do that and remind yourself to do so by setting your alarm on your phone or what have you to 1:39 p.m. each day so that you can pray for life. So if you want one of these, we have it. We also want to encourage you to vote. Do your homework. There's a voter guide in your bulletin today. Use it. Study it. Your vote counts. Vote for life. Vote for pro-life candidates. Vote for those who have a biblical worldview. You have a voice, so use it. And stand for truth. Speak up. Share the message of truth and hope that you know. Be a voice for those who have no voice of their own and can't speak for themselves. All right? So before we leave you today, I want to encourage you to do one thing. Turn to a few people today and let them know that they are God's masterpieces, that you agree with them. They are his poemas, and this is God's truth. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never accepted him or asked him into your hearts, we want to invite you to come to the altar. We're here to pray for you. There's also a team here at the altar that would love to pray with you. For that matter, if you need us to come in agreement and pray with you for anything, we'd love and we'd be blessed and happy to do so. Thank you, everyone, and have a blessed and beautiful day.
Wow, that was awesome. We talked about doing this series, and the Lord just said this is the couple to do this. Can we just give it up one more time?
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.